From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the island to the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here, and man, am I excited about this hour of the program. If you've known me for any length of time, if you've listened to this program over the past several years, well, you will know that one of the most fascinating people in the world is the man that is our guest this hour. Not only is he a friend, but let me tell you something about this guy, okay? He is a world-renowned expert. He is the man that Ripley's, believe it or not, calls the human stun gun. He is a death touch master. He has been featured on popular shows like The Steve Harvey Show or the History Channel's Superhumans. And the title alone tells you quite a bit. He is a grand master in Shinbi Han, and as we say, a man who can kick your ass in at least 74 different ways, and you might not even know that it's happening to you. Grandmaster Tom Cameron from Chicago, welcome back to Speaking of Strange, sir.
Well, thank you, Josh. It's great to be back with you with an introduction like that. I wasn't even sure you were talking about me.
Everybody has to be nice to you because you're Death Touch Tom, right?
Well, they don't have to be, but there are consequences.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And we appreciate you being with us on the program tonight. You know, Tom, over the past few days, people have been saying, man, you know, Mercury's in retrograde. We had Friday the 13th. The moon's been full. It's been kind of a weird time for everybody. And you are very sensitive to the sort of cosmic energies. What have you felt so far in this year called 2014?
It's definitely a year of starts. It seems like there's a lot of new projects and a lot of things that are coming up that are new. Just to kind of give you an example, this past Tuesday, I started back teaching a class at Moraine Valley Community College, which is very near to my house. Started teaching a course in paranormal phenomena, and it's the first time that I've been teaching this course in 20 years. The college had gotten several complaints that supposedly I was teaching demonology and all the rest of it because I was teaching, you know, some aspects of reincarnation and things of that nature. So some of the fundamentalist churches in the area raised a fuss, but now after three different administrations have come and gone, the new administration said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea with all the TV shows and such. And of course, as I started teaching the class, I flipped the switch on for the projector, and the bulb burst in the middle of the room. So it sounds like a... sounds like a very typical Mercury retrograde type of thing to do. So,
well, you know, I'm always fond of that quote by Charles Fort, that you can measure a circle beginning anywhere. And it seems like that when people get involved in this strange arena we call the paranormal, sometimes they come in like I did originally from the ghost angle. Sometimes it's UFOs. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's cryptid. Sometimes it's psychic phenomena. You, of course, began your journey by focusing on the human energy field and the way that the mind-body-environment relationship applies. And for those who really don't even know what it means when I say you are a grand master of Shinbi Han, explain that to everyone, please.
Sure. I've studied now – God, I can't believe I'm that old – but this past January was my 42nd anniversary of studying martial arts. I have a 7th degree black belt in Taekwondo, and what I've done is Shinbi Han is a style that I've developed as an amalgam of a number of different types of martial arts. I've blended Korean and Chinese and Okinawan and Philippine types of styles all into one, we still use the same forms system, the same pattern system as many Taekwondo schools do. So that's why we're still basically considered a Taekwondo form. But I teach it in quite different ways. We use the same pressure points that an acupuncturist would use, only rather than creating healing and soothing types of effects, we create organic types of disruptions. We create pain, sometimes massive amounts of pain, and we develop the ability to shut any organ in the body off.
You know, you, Tom, are the closest thing to a real-life Jedi that I've ever met. And when most people think of Tom Cameron, they have this iconic image of you standing there projecting an energy field out and apparently knocking people to the ground without even touching them. It's similar to watching Darth Vader choke a guy across the room by just clenching his fist. And this is the controversial thing about the system that you are a part of and have helped to develop. When you are literally projecting some kind of energy and knocking somebody down without physical contact, what are you doing? What is happening inside your body?
My understanding is that what I'm doing is focusing the chi energy. That's the bioelectric energy, the force, if you will. I'm directing it at the target. Most of the time I'm directing it at the dantian, or what some people might recognize as the second chakra, directly below the navel, to disrupt the their energy pattern, and their nervous system is will follow. And when the energy system shuts down, the nervous system is the first thing that goes. Generally, what happens is the person will, whatever the weakest system in their body is usually what's most grotesquely affected or most grossly affected. Now, the other thing too that I should say is it does the touchless stuff works on everybody to greater or lesser degrees. Some people don't realize that they've had any kind of physical weakness and they don't immediately fall down or whatever. Some people are more sensitive to it and do fall down. And for those who for those who like to say that, you know, it's the same thing as a Benny Hinn type of ministry or something like that, where it's all the power of suggestion, you were there for the superhumans one, and it's been done a number of times, where and I also did it at one of your conferences down in Asheville, where they take the measurements of the person, and the person's heart is nearly stopping, their blood pressure is dropping. In fact, at the one in Chicago, the doctor couldn't even find the guy's pulse or blood pressure for several seconds. And that type of extreme detrimental effect, the body will not produce through the power of suggestion, because the whole idea of the power of suggestion or the mind is to preserve the body at any cost. So it won't take it to that degree.
So how does this relate to the infamous term death touch that people have heard in pop culture but may not fully understand?
Well, death touch is, there are dozens of places on the body that, depending on the sequence that you tap the person, can set up a vibration in the body, which when those vibrations actually meet, can cause a fatal effect. If anybody's ever seen, and I've used this metaphor before, if anybody's ever seen a top, a regular spinning top with, you know, where you pull the string and the thing is balancing on a point, after a time, or even spinning a coin for that matter, there'll be a vibration, then it returns to normal. Then the next time it has the vibration, it gets a little worse, and every time it goes through that cycle, it becomes more exaggerated to the point where either the top falls over or the coin falls over. And that's the way that it was explained to me, that what's happening in the person is every time the energy point that we put in the body, the poison pill, if you will, that we put in the body every time it passes through the organ that we've designated, the system that we've put it into. Every time it passes through that organ, it weakens it, and eventually that system fails, whether it be the heart or the brain or the lungs or, you know, liver, whatever it might be.
Now, as you mentioned there, I was there with colleagues taking measurements during the Superhumans program for History Channel, and you're right. You know, we had the doctor who said, I can't explain what's happening. We got all kinds of weird anomalies on our equipment. And over the years, when we've done tests and experiments with you, we have always gotten strange things that we cannot explain. But there was one experiment in particular that we did with you that I talk about almost every time I do a speaking engagement, because I think the implications are so profound. We did an experiment. This was during the same period when we were shooting the Superhumans episode, where we had my friends.
The Curly photograph, yeah.
Yes, Dean Worsing and Joe Southards. And Joe is a big guy. He's like 6'5". And we decided to develop an experiment, which is relatively simple, where we would have Joe place one of his fingertips into a Kirlian camera set. And basically, we took a control photograph of the corona of energy around his body as a control. And when that picture came out, it looked like a very typical oval of light, just like you usually get when you take a Kirlian photo. Then we had you just deliver a very slight tap around Joe's jaw. And at that moment, during that split second, I took another Kirlian photograph. Now, for one thing, Big Joe went down, and that was amazing because you didn't apply any force. You just tapped him, and Dean actually had to catch him and lower him down. But when that picture came out, and I have taken thousands of Kirlian photos, the picture showed something that is absolutely amazing and I think has a great deal of historic significance. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I will explain about what I saw in this photograph, and then we'll ask Tom what his opinion is of what this photograph proved and demonstrated. And then later in this hour, we're actually going to talk about maybe some experiments that we might be able to do with all of you listening to the program tonight, long distance. My guest this hour is Death Touch Tom Cameron, the Grandmaster, the Human Stun Gun. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Green field, on a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
Clear.
All right. Everything's sounding good there. A lot of them out there these days, but one of them lives in Chicago, and his name is Grandmaster Tom Cameron. And let me tell you, if there is anybody who can put on a show and, I mean, really demonstrate some amazing aspects of manipulating energy, both within the human body and in the external environment with equipment that's set up taking measurements. He's the guy who can do it, and that's why he's been on shows like Superhumans on the History Channel. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. By the way, Wright's Coin Shop, write their number down. You can talk to Miss Shelley right there, 828-298-5402. Grandmaster Cameron, before the break, we were talking about this experiment. We took Big Joe Southards. He gave us a control Kirlian photograph that just showed what you expect, a normal oval of bluish light coming out of his fingertip. But when you gave him a knockout energy, if you will, when you just barely tapped him and he went down, I exposed another photo. And when that photograph developed, I was astounded immediately by what I saw. In this photo, we had not one ring of light, but two separate overlapping rings of light. Now, mind you, again, I have taken thousands of Kirlian photos. This was not some kind of a motion blur. I've posted this thing on my website, and I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I'll link it up there for at speakingofstrange.com so people can make sure they see this. It almost looked like that we had two distinct separate energy fields, the energy field of his physical form and the energy field of his energy body. And it was almost like we were seeing the energy body literally knocked ajar from the physical body at that moment that his consciousness was slipping away. This might be the first time that anybody has gotten good photographic evidence of the energy body separating from the physical, and that might apply to ghostly phenomena, what happens to the spirit or the soul or the essence upon death, in addition to the way that these dual forces work together in life. So what is your interpretation of the result we got there, Tom?
I would completely concur. I think that, you know, when we talk about the energy strikes or the chi strikes affecting the nervous system, what essentially we have in our head is that we're actually separating the electrical impulse from the nervous system. We're displacing it. So in point of fact, that may be exactly what happened, is that I knocked his energy body or knocked his soul out of alignment with his body so that it wasn't able to function.
Well, what a wild concept. Tom Cameron can knock your soul out of alignment. That's a great slogan.
Is that an advertising gimmick? I can bruise your soul if you...
He will kick your soul's ass. I mentioned when we started this hour off that things have been kind of weird in the energy world lately, and Shelley, you're very sensitive to energy fields. You've had some weird stuff happening to you in terms of how technology's been relating to your presence, right?
I have. Lately, it has been really, really tough. We had a night recently. We were doing the show, and there were all kinds of technical problems. And that night, my phone was possessed. Never did make it quit work. Start working correctly. My TV. I don't know if I need a new TV or if I'm causing the problems with the TV, because I will look at it. I will be doing something. I will look up at the TV, and then it'll flash to a blue screen. And this is happening all the time.
So, Tom, what do you think about what's happening here for people like Shelley?
Frequently, my students will have I have younger students, if they start hitting puberty and they've been working with me for any length of time prior to that, the parents usually end up hating me because They usually end up going through two or three computers, a couple TVs, and assorted other types of electronics, cell phones and all the rest of it, because the during puberty their energy becomes so erratic that they end up burning all kinds of things up. When we were doing the filming for Steve Harvey, because, well, in fact, even if you want to go back years ago, I don't know if you remember, you had done an analysis of a 16-millimeter film of a demonstration that I had done. And if you remember, what was it, the first 23 feet of it, I had told the person who was videotaping it, or filming it, rather, because it was actually 16-millimeter, I said, I think I'm hurting your camera because I could feel the energy being drawn towards it. And when it was developed, it had a sine wave burned into the first 20-some feet of it. Do you recall that?
I certainly do. It was one of the weirdest things I've seen on film.
And you said that you had had it analyzed by people who had been in Hollywood, you know, since the early days, and they had never seen anything like that.
Yeah, my friend Bill Banner, who was a true pioneer of broadcasting, as a matter of fact, it says that on his tombstone. He's no longer with us, but it says broadcasting pioneer. This guy, you know, he died when he was in his 80s, and he, his whole life, had worked in professional broadcasting. I showed that to him, and he thought it was absolutely amazing. He couldn't explain it, and that says a lot.
I absolutely agree. So getting back to Shelley's problem, when we were videotaping for the Steve Harvey's Big Time show, they were trying to do a bumper in the green room with myself and my students. They were trying to tape one, and I said, I'm hurting your camera. And the guy looked, and he's like, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know, but I can feel the energy going towards it. And he looked at his camera, and the battery was drained already. He's like, that was a brand new battery. So he put another one in, and I could feel the same thing happening. He's like, this isn't going to work. And it was due to the proximity. So we had to do a little bit of figuring, and this is what I recommend to Shelley, so she can differentiate whether her TV is going haywire or whether she's just having a bad effect on it. We found somebody in the green room had, of all things, Rice Krispie treats. And we had the students put the Rice Krispie treats in their uniform directly in front of their navel chakra, directly in front of the dantian. And then we were able to film it without any problem, because any kind of unnatural type of product, be it sugar, be it processed salt, white flour, any of the rest of that, if you put it in front of the second chakra, that will block you from being able to absorb energy, and as a result, you won't be able to project any energy either.
Very cool.
So Shelley, so Rice Krispie treats.
You know, if you've got a muffin or if you've got a couple pieces of candy or whatever, if you put it in the waistband of your trousers directly underneath your navel, you'll be able to eliminate any possibility that you're affecting the TV and see if you need the TV fixed or if you need something adjusted in you.
Fabulous.
So
try that.
You know what, Tom, have you just revealed on national radio your kryptonite? All we have to do is stuff a muffin or a Rice Krispie treat down your pants and you're powerless to deliver death touch?
I don't think I'm going to. I don't think that's going to be an experiment I'm going to let you do, Josh. But yeah, I mean, that's actually an experiment anybody can do. Anybody in your audience can do, if they have somebody just lay down on the floor on their back and stick their fist straight up towards the ceiling, and then try to push the hand down. The person should be able to resist it fairly easily. And then you sprinkle just a little bit of sugar directly on the person, like I say, about an inch underneath their navel. Doesn't even have to be very accurate. The person won't be able to resist, and their arm will come straight down.
All right, we're up on another break already. By the way, is there any website or anything you want to give out to people who want to learn more about you and your work, Tom?
It's not up right now. It should be up within the next couple of days. MysticWarriorTraining.com.
All right, awesome. MysticWarriorTraining.com. So, yes, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Tom about some long-distance type experiments that you might want to try out yourself. Maybe we can even do something here on the radio tonight. We've done similar things before, because the interesting part of all this is that, you know, when you start digging into the data, it looks like we're not talking about some strictly Newtonian aspect of linear traveling waves. There's almost a quantum non-local entanglement here that means this energy can go anywhere. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange. Where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And this hour we are spending with our good friend, Grandmaster Tom Cameron, the human stun gun. That's what Ripley's Believe It or Not calls him, and it's for good reason. He is an instructor on all things mysterious, esoteric, metaphysical, paranormal, and he has spent his life, really, learning how to perfect the focusing and direction and control of the bioenergy field and understanding that relationship to the mind-body-environment sort of interaction. So given that we are seeing more and more, Tom, that these phenomena seem to be non-local, they seem to be something better explained by quantum physics than Newtonian linear transmissions, what kind of ideas do you have for experiments? Hey, maybe something we could even do with our audience on the air here that includes some of these concepts.
Well, we can some of the things that we can do. We've worked with sound before, which is also part of the that type of a control, because it's believed that part of the reason that they do the key up, the yell in the forms, is it also acts to affect the nervous system. It also controls the way that the energy in the room will flow. So is Shelley very near you?
Well, I am in Puerto Rico. Shelley's in Asheville, and you're in Chicago. So this is a long distance show, but she's near Sam.
I guess Shelley's not going to be able to hold your hand then.
But Sam is there.
I can hold Sam's
Shelley,
hand.
You want to hold my hand?
Okay, you can hold Sam's hand. That would be a good thing.
Let's do this. So, she's got a long cable.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. So what I want you to do is actually grab hold of Sam's arm, like you might imagine a Roman gladiator's handshake, okay. You know, where you're each grasping the other person's forearm.
Check.
Okay.
We are good to go.
Now, what I want you to do, Shelley, is I want you to try and pull him towards you. Sam, I want you to resist as much as possible.
Okay, you're not going to let me fall, right?
Okay, I won't let you fall.
Okay, oops. Okay, all right.
Okay. Are you pulling?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being successful?
Well, he's a lot bigger than I am, but yes.
Well, that's good. That's exactly what we want. Now what I want you to do is pull him, and at the same time, say the word me. Only hold the tone, and I'm also going to intone it while we're on the radio. Ready? One, two, three.
Me. Cool. I just pulled him over almost.
Okay. So you were able to pull him over just by changing it, just by using the tone in... And no additional strength.
I did, I did lean a little, I'm a tall fella, so my fulcrum. But, I did go forward more. I would definitely started to teeter towards her direction, for sure.
Now, see, they would say that what is actually happening is the energy in the room is pushing you towards her because the sound me is to bring the power internally or bring it towards yourself.
Ooh. Okay, now, by the way, Sam, how tall are you?
5'18".
Yeah. For those who are not math whizzes.
6'6".
Okay, he's 6'6". Shelley, how tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
Now, look at that, guys. There's over a foot of difference there, and that simple tone of me was able to make that kind of a difference. And it goes to show how something like sound and the way the sound is reflected from the individual who delivers it can change the physiology all around. Right, Tom?
Right. And in fact, it's my theory that a lot of this stuff is actually hidden in our language and we don't even realize it. The tone to push people away is O or HO, like H-O-E. So if you think about our language, we have the expression heave ho. And if you think about the motion that's supposed to be taking place, heave brings the whatever it is you're throwing towards you, and ho throws it away. So
wow.
We're actually using the tones, and we're using the correct tones with the correct motion, and having absolutely no understanding why.
So if Shelley grabs Sam and says, ho, and pushes him really hard, he is helpless, right? There's nothing he can do.
What I would recommend is for Sam to get down in like a football stance, you know, like a linebacker type of thing, and for Shelley to try and push him over on his shoulders.
So this
and
would be
for her
where...
to try, and then for her to try it with the tone, ho.
If we had a video Skype going on right now, this would be quite entertaining because
oh, yeah.
If you could see the studio, some barriers here. You know, we've got chairs and something's going to get messed up. I'm game.
We may have to just have somebody take a little independent
try
video.
And push him over. Do not use the tone yet.
I'm taking off my headphones. Going headphoneless.
Okay. Let me move the chair.
All right.
Maybe move the chair.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
I am in a football stance.
I am going to pitch you down.
Okay. Go for it, Shelley.
Are we ready?
Yeah,
yes,
go for it.
Go for it.
Okay, that's a football stance.
I think that's a football stance.
That's a really...
Tom, we are discussing, like, you mean like as if I am down on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I've got both of my hands... you know, I've got 1 foot back, both of my hands on my fingertips.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter what your particular physical, you know, physical stance is going to be. She should just find it easier to push you over when she's using the tone or to move you backward, move you away from her when she's using the tone than when she doesn't.
I'm game to try it again.
I think. One more time.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
This is for all the kids out there.
All right.
Do it for the kids, Shelley.
Okay.
Go for it.
Now, first try it without the town remember. Try it and see how difficult it is without it. Okay. And now
there was movement. There was definitely.
Yeah, it's got to be ho. Okay, so now try and push him, and I'll help you with the tone as well.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
On three, two, one. Oh.
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 Okay. We both fell over.
You know, I want you to know, Obamacare, I don't think I've paid up my premium. I might have just pulled a hammy. I just pulled a hammy on that one.
Now, Sam, if it weren't for all the negative emails, I would have you shove Shelly and scream ho, but there could be some litigation involved in that.
She'd be game.
6'7" Sam or whatever.
5'18".
Shove a little 5-foot Shelly around screaming
it's
ho.
It's consensual.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does have other connotations with that, you know. But now, see, we use it as part of our striking force. So when we are punching straight forward or striking straight forward, trying to push the person straight forward, we will use that tone. You can't use it. We only practice the tones once a month in the school because it will deplete your own personal energy so quickly that you can actually damage yourself. In fact, the day after that we were doing the filming for Superhumans, actually I had injured my kidneys. I was urinating blood for a couple days afterwards.
So now, okay, we're coming up on another break here soon, but I just want to say that when I first met Tom, as he was sort of alluding to earlier, I was doing a big conference at the Grove Park and nice big 5-star resort there in Asheville. And aside from doing events on the floor and demonstrations, at one point Tom came up to our sort of, you know, management/party suite, and he was demonstrating a very surprisingly simple way that a relatively weak person can beat a big, strong person at arm wrestling. And it had to do with simply applying just a very slight touch to a little pressure point and sort of short-circuiting the energy flow, which is what a lot of this is about. When we come back from this break, maybe Tom can give you guys listening to the show a little tip. If you want to, say some of you who are not so big and strong want to play a little trick on somebody who is big and strong and show them how easily you can take out their arm and arm wrestling. And then also we'll learn more about this event that Tom has got coming up in October in Chicago. It's October 18th through the 19th. We're also going to have a link up for you to mysticwarriortraining.com as soon as that site is up and running and available. This hour, my guest is a real Jedi, as far as I'm concerned. He is Death Touch Tom. He is the human stun gun. He is Grand Master Tom Cameron. And we'll talk more with him about the inner secrets of energy and the mind-body relationship here on Speaking of Strange. And we are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and that's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, the more sordid and seedy stuff, maybe not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So if that's your cup of tea, stick around for that material. We air late at night. We are now finishing up our conversation this hour with Grandmaster Tom Cameron, the human stun gun. And Tom, just to alleviate any doubts, just to verify this once again, please tell everybody it's true. I, Joshua P. Warren, actually am a certified honorary first degree black belt. Am I not, Tom?
You absolutely are. You were able to bust through a pile of cement slabs just like I taught you. You used the tones just like I had showed you, and you crumbled those puppies.
Yes, I pulverized them. Bet you didn't know that, did you, Sam?
I didn't know you were into hurting animals and stuff.
Now you pulverizing puppies. Respect me a little bit more, yeah. Okay, so now, Tom, we have a few minutes before the clock has got us. Tell us about this conference that you're producing in October.
It's actually the third time that I've been doing it. This is going to be the first time that we're having it at Moraine Valley College, though. It's a paranormal conference. We've got speakers of every type of metaphysical type of strain you can imagine. We have some. We've got a shamanic healer from the Amazon. We've got people that do aura photography, and he always has fun with me. We've got psychics that do trance channeling. We've got house clearers. Ghost hunters, we've got UFO hunters. In fact, this year we're going to be working somewhat in conjunction with Illinois MUFON, who's holding their Heartland conference at about the same time. So we're going to be having a number of speakers from their conference at our place as well. It's a two-day event, and it, like I say, it's going to be at Moraine Valley. Should be an enormous amount of fun. All of us do lectures. There's a possibility that Bill Holman will be there. Bill is a friend of mine. He's the caretaker of the Mitchell Hedges skull. It's a really exciting event. As I said, this is the third year that we've been having it. This is the third time that first time that we're having it at a really nice large venue like a college.
Okay, and should people just go to mysticwarriortraining.com for info, or is there another website?
There's actually going to be another website. That's part of the reason that Mystic Warrior isn't up. I'm going to be launching both of the websites at the same time. That one is going to be called palosparanormal.com.
Okay. Excellent. P-A-L-O-S, Palos Paranormal. Okay, tell everybody, Tom, real quick, what they can do to beat somebody at arm wrestling using a bioenergy trick.
Okay. Try to imagine that you're doing that you are in arm wrestling position with the person. So your hands are forming a V. What you need to do then is take your left hand, bring it underneath the V, and touch your own forearm on the back side of it. So closer to the elbow rather than the fold, about 3 inches down from the elbow, you'll feel, There's a natural muscle ridge that's there, and you touch your finger there. Do not have your arm on the table, the one that is doing the touching, your left arm. You keep that up and off the table, and that will magnify your ability to resist the person. The other thing that you can do is place your foot between his 2 feet. That will cut his energy by half.
Wow. So doing that alone, just putting your foot between the other guy's 2 feet, will give you double the advantage?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. And so ultimately then, Tom, what we have to do is envision that the physical body is more than just what we see. There is an energy layer all around us, and it's almost like the physical body is the product of the energy layer instead of the other way around, huh?
Well, and actually, some Curlian photography would certainly intimate that. I mean, if you there's some Curlian photography that when you take pictures of seeds, it shows the roots of the seed as though it had already been germinated, which would indicate that the energy exists prior to the physical material being there. It's almost as though the energy field is the ice cube tray, and then we fill it in with the ice cubes.
Excellent analogy. Well, hey, I want to thank you for all that you have done and continue to do to enlighten people, to instruct people, to demonstrate for people the reality of these concepts. And, hey, I look forward to working with you on more projects. And thanks so much for taking time to be on the show tonight, Tom.
Thank you, my friend. And we'll be talking soon, I hope.
Oh, yes. Well, there you have it, my friends. Death Touch Tom, the human stun gun, and his upcoming website there, mysticwarriortraining.com. And his big event in Chicago is going to be October 18th through the 19th. And you can look for PalosParanormal.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The Dark 30 Hour will be here right after this.